well. Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, if you would look with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We're going to be reading verse 4 down to verse 9 on Wednesday nights. We've been in a study now for about a month or so on the life of Joshua, the life of Joshua. We've been looking at, first of all, Joshua the man. And of course, we're going to get into the book of Joshua. We're going to go through the entire book of Joshua, which is going to help us to understand more about the life of Joshua. But how God prepared him is very important, because God works the same. God is unchangeable, and God prepares his servants for service. And every born-again believer needs to be looking to serve the Lord. And God will prepare you to be able to serve in the capacity that he would want you to serve him. And so last week we looked at a man who had established a good name. Joshua was a man that had established a good name, and God would have us all to establish a good name, or a testimony, if you will. That's most important, is our testimony and how God can work in and through us through a testimony. And so Joshua understood that. He wanted to be used of God. He wanted to be called of God. He wanted to be a servant under Moses. He wanted to accomplish everything God wanted him to accomplish. And so he, as we studied last week, he was very concerned about establishing a good name. So tonight, let's go ahead and stand, if you would, if you're able to. We'll be reading Deuteronomy chapter 34. The very last of the book of Deuteronomy is right before the end of the Pentateuch, or the five books of the law of God through Moses, as Moses has written the Pentateuch. And then we go into the book of Joshua. But here in the very last chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, start reading in verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, to Moses, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And again, we thank you for the health and the opportunity and the privilege it is to be in church on this Wednesday night. And Lord, once again, I pray that you would help us just to put things out of our hearts and minds and focus on what you have for us tonight. Pray that you would once again empower the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So in verse 9, the Bible says, and Moses had laid hands upon Joshua. Joshua, chosen by God and well prepared by Moses. That's what we're looking at tonight, is chosen by God. That's something that only God does. He chooses. He knows who we are. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. He understands everything from the beginning to the end of each one of our lives. And he chooses. as God chooses, then he will use other people in our lives to prepare us, to do a work in our lives, to help us, to mentor. But it's God that chooses. In verse 4, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him," Moses, "this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." When Moses understood that he would not be the one to lead Israel into the promised land, and we're going to be seeing a little bit more about that in the book of Numbers, but when he understood that he was not going to be that one, then God revealed to Moses, with Moses having a concern for the one who would lead them into the promised land, then God would reveal to Moses his choice. And his choice would be Joshua. With that in mind, and let's go back to the book of Numbers, and Numbers in chapter 27, verse 15. This is Moses writes the book of Numbers, and he records what has taken place, the reason before, what Moses did in order for God now to choose someone else to lead them into the promised land. It's recorded in there in the book Numbers in chapter 27. But then after that in verse 15, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, which may lead them out and which may bring them in." The same thing that Moses had been doing all this time with the nation of Israel, the children of God. It reveals that Moses had not only a love for God, but he had a love for Israel. He had love for the people of God. And he's praying now and asking God to make sure that he had someone who would be able to take the position that he had had all this time, from leading them out of Egypt and taking them through the wilderness and all the different times, but now as they get ready to go into the promised land, he said, "which may go out before them and which may go in before them and which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." Now, no doubt God had the very same desire, but here we find that Moses is writing it, and God allows him and actually instructs him on to write this so that we might be able to not only see the heart of God in choosing Joshua, but also the concern that Moses had in making sure that the right person was chosen to be the shepherd to lead the nation of Israel. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua." No question about it. But we find it recorded here that God said unto Moses, with Moses having a heart and wanting to make sure that this was the right call, this is the right individual, and he said, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him." Man that had the Spirit. Now, if you remember back over in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit of wisdom." So we find here that he's referring to the preparation of Joshua and the man who had established a good name, understanding that this would be the one that God would use to lead Israel into the promised land. Him having this Spirit didn't happen overnight. Now, understand, we're in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God did not dwell within the hearts and the lives of individuals in the Old Testament. That was a mystery that would be God's will for Christianity. That would be God's will for when Christ would come and he would prove himself to be the Messiah. And he would be their comforter while he walked with them. And he would be able to disciple the believers during that time when he was here. And he revealed what a comforter could do for them. How that it would be a help to them to understand that they had God right there with them. Walking with them. There to fellowship with them. To talk with them. 24/7. I mean, he was with them. And then when he would ascend up to heaven, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you another comforter, and this comforter is going to dwell within you. Praise the Lord for that. We have that today. They didn't have that then. The Spirit of God would come upon them. The Spirit of God would enable them. But they did not have the continuing indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. So we find that Joshua would have the right spirit. Joshua would have the spirit of wisdom. Joshua would be the one who would be the best qualified to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land, but it didn't happen overnight. He had to learn to yield his heart and his mind to God. Now, again, it's somewhat difficult for even us today in this New Testament church age, but we have the inner dwelling of the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit, and basically what the Holy Spirit of God inside of us is doing is helping us to yield our thoughts and yield our heart to God. And as we are yielded to God, then we will have the kind of thinking that God would have us to have in order to accomplish the work that he's called us to. That's the wisdom of yielding to the Spirit of God, into the voice of the Lord, into the Word of God. And then we will have the right kind of attitude because our hearts also have been yielded to the indwelling of the Spirit to give us the right attitude and give us the right thinking and give us the right motivation, on and on and on, because that's what it takes to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. So this was Joshua, the man, full of the spirit of wisdom, beginning his journey in the land of Egypt, witnessing God in the land of Egypt, witnessing Moses in the land of Egypt, witnessing the deliverance, the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, witnessing the promised land. As he would go in, we studied this, as he had a desire to establish a good name, and he wanted to establish that he was a man of faith. When they come back out of the promised land, even though his mind would tell him, you can't do this, his heart would tell him, you can't do this, but as long as he stayed focused on God, then he had right thinking that I can do all things through Christ. He had the right attitude. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see what's taking place here. This is Joshua. This is what's taking place there. And so God was preparing him. Now, God will continue to prepare us, but it's the same thing as yielding to the thoughts that God would have you to think and the attitude that God would have you to establish in your own heart and mind, to be that instrument that God would work in and through. So as a spy, he was being trained and prepared. And then when he went back into the wilderness for 40 years, it didn't happen overnight. Another 40 years back in the wilderness. under the leadership of one of the greatest leaders of all time, Moses. Yeah. So he gained wisdom from Moses' leadership. All this time, 40 years, and how he would observe Moses yielding to God. And when Moses is yielding to God, the power would take place from heaven and impact the lives of the children of Israel. When they were rebellious, how that Moses, the leader, would handle the rebellious part of it. On and on and on, God was continuing to prepare Joshua from the wisdom and the mentoring of Moses. But he was also doing something else. He was preserving Joshua, something that Moses couldn't do, but that God was doing. Joshua chapter 14. I want you to see something here. There was two of the spies that God said, I'm going to keep you alive. And out of everyone that is alive right now who is able to make decisions for themselves, you're the only two that's going to go into the land of promise. Not even Moses would go in. The only two would be Caleb and Joshua. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10, as Caleb comes to Joshua, and we'll be looking at this, as Joshua had the wisdom to divide the land. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Caleb is revealing some things to Joshua that Joshua already would know. But he says, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years. As he said, because he had given a promise. But he gave that promise not only to Caleb, but he gave that promise to Joshua. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85. Possibly the very same age that Joshua would be. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. How would you like to not age for 45 years? Now, if you're a teenager, you don't like that. That doesn't appeal to you whatsoever. If you're over 60, you're thinking, oh, baby. Yeah, to feel like I felt when I was a teenager, to go back and not to go through some of the mental things, but to feel like I felt and to accomplish something, strong body, strong mind. I mean, so much that was going on there. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Something that Joshua was experiencing, as well as Caleb, because of the promises of God, for those 40 years of wilderness wanderings, he didn't age. Moses couldn't have done that for him. Moses was mentoring him, and Moses was showing him how the leadership, helping him to learn what he needed to learn. But God had to do what only God can do to prepare us and to preserve us for the calling. Wow. We're living in a day and age, and as we get older, I mean, wow, there's so many mental diseases. There's so many medications that we have to go on for all sorts of different reasons that can have side effects, and a lot of times those side effects can affect our minds, it can affect our feelings, it can affect our thinking, it can affect our attitudes, it can affect our emotions. Amen? So, how can I accomplish what God would have me to accomplish? By understanding what God's able to do and what God will do, and keeping you preserved for His purpose. Sometimes what I think might be God's purpose is really not God's purpose. But God will preserve us for His purpose in the way that only God chooses. I'm not as healthy as I was 45 years ago. I'm not as spry. I can't do things mentally. I can't do things physically. But I have the mindset and the abilities that God wants me to have to accomplish what He has me here to accomplish today. Sometimes we make up for that physical by our wisdom. You don't work harder, you what? Work smarter. If I had the wisdom back when I had the physical capabilities, you think, wow, think of what we could accomplish. But yet, it's not up to us to determine what we're going to accomplish. It's up to God to determine what He has us here to accomplish. And God will bring people into our lives to mentor us, and He will bring things into our lives to help us to gain the wisdom. And it's up to God to keep me physically preserved for whatever God has for me to accomplish. Amen. Moses then would publicly ordain Joshua. Look right here, Numbers chapter 27, verse 22. Moses knew that he was going to pass off the scene, but can I tell you that God had kept Moses healthy? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 7, and Moses was 128 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Whoa, whoa, whoa. 128? God did that? God's able to do that. He wanted him to be at his best all the way to the very end, even if it was 128 years old. But he would need every ounce of energy that he would have to do what God called him to do. And accomplishing leading the people of Israel out of the bondage through the wilderness and then back to the land of promise. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And the people seen this, and the people saw have been following Moses and no doubt understood that God had preserved him, and now Moses is putting his hand upon Joshua and saying God's going to do the very same thing through Joshua. So, Joshua, what was important for Joshua? First, to acknowledge God's call. I want to be all that God wants me to be. And when my life on this earth is over, I want to know that I have accomplished what God had for me to accomplish. It might not necessarily be what I think it ought to be. Live 128 without years of age, without ever aging. It's possible. Not most likely. If God did it for Moses, he could do it for me. But I don't have 2 million people to lead across a desert land and to lead them up to the land of promise. I don't know that I could ever have that kind of energy. Acknowledge God's call. What I can't control, God can. So I acknowledge God's call. Second is acknowledge Moses' mentoring. I need from God his call. I need from those that God has put in my life to mentor me, to learn what God has me here to learn under whoever God has put over me. And thirdly, and possibly, if not most important, as important, to be Joshua. To be Joshua. Joshua's not Moses. Joshua's not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Joshua is Joshua. I trust you getting that. I look around, I might see somebody else accomplishing more than me. I'm a failure. No. That's whoever that is. I'm Dan Tidd. I'm not Paul Chappell. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not going to compare who I am by what they've accomplished and what they're doing. At the same time, I'm not going to build myself up to look to somebody that's not accomplishing as much as what God's allowed me to accomplish. I'm not going to look at them and say, well, look what I've got over them. I'm not going to build myself up over someone else, but I'm not going to put myself down because somebody else has been chosen to do even greater things. Called by God, mentored by Moses, but he's Joshua. Yeah. Called by God, placed under Moses by God to prepare him. I'm not called by Moses. Don't confuse that. You need to know you're called by God. Top of it, God working, calling me. God giving me the talents, giving me the spiritual gifts. God opening doors of opportunities. God doing what Moses could never do, but God can do and has done and will continue to do. God. I'm very much aware of Moses and those men that have impacted my life, that God has brought into my life, that has helped kind of guided me as a pastor. You've heard the phrase, mama called, daddy sent. If you haven't, it's one that's out there by people going into ministry because their mom wants them to go into the ministry, but you've never been God called. And because your dad's a pastor, he's been able to do what needs to be done to put you in ministry. Mama called, daddy sent. Those kind of men never last. Matter of fact, most of the guys that have probably failed in the ministry, whether it be on the mission field or pastoring churches, have been mama called and daddy sent. What we need to focus on is God called and God prepared through mentoring of whoever. Moses died 128 years old, his health unabated, his natural force, his natural health, nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. Mentally as sharp as he was when he started the journey. Physically as healthy as he was when he started the journey. But God wasn't choosing him to lead Israel into the promised land. He could have, but he did not. It was not God's choice. So who was? Joshua. Joshua was not to replace Moses, or was Joshua to fill Moses' shoes? That's too much pressure. For me to have to be just like somebody else, especially a mentor that I've looked up to that has accomplished so much, that's too much pressure. I cannot be a Moses. But Joshua didn't have to be. He didn't have to fill Moses' shoes. Didn't have to, because he's not Moses. He just had to be Joshua. Today, I tell you, it's important to know you're not Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my example for living life, but I'm not here to replace him. Can you imagine the pressure for a pastor to think that he is the Lord of the people? God says, you're not Lord of my people. I'm the Lord. Represent me as an under-shepherd. I can handle that. I'm so glad that I am not to be a lord over God's people. And yet there's so many that try to do that. Too much pressure for me. It was too much pressure for even John the Baptist. He didn't come to replace or to be a Christ. It's not what he was called to do. Look, John chapter 1. Let me just read this to you, but John chapter 1, verse 26. And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is whom coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Nevertheless, Phil, I'm not even worthy to even buckle or unbuckle the shoes of who Jesus Christ is. I don't even want to think that I can do that. But I can be what he wants me to be in representing him. He is my Lord. And he has given me example to how to live life and how to accomplish what God would have me to accomplish. I'm not Jesus, but I am a servant of the Lord. Can I tell you, we need to understand that in our own lives. Moses, it would have destroyed Joshua for God to tell Joshua, you have to be Moses. No, my servant, Moses, my servant's dead. He's accomplished everything I had for him to accomplish. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to tell you where I buried him, because I think he's going to be one of the two witnesses to come back during the tribulation period. We won't even get into that right now, but I believe that's part of it. I still have future plans for Moses, but you're not Moses. Don't try to be Moses. Just be who I've made you to be and accomplish what I have you here to accomplish. You are Joshua. Be Joshua. Joshua would have to get over his loss of Moses to be able to be Joshua. Many times God has to take people out of our lives for us to take the position that God wants us to have. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Not going to be much longer here, but get this. This is good stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. I think there's a need to mourn, especially when you lose a mentor. But mark it down. If you're going to be all that God wants you to be, then whoever mentored you, more than likely, you're going to outlive them. And your mentors are going to be taken away. Sometimes the one who's mentored me the most has been a parent. And praise the Lord for godly parents raising godly children, but at some point in our lives, we're going to lose our parents. I trust that's the way it's going to be. It's never. One of the hardest things you go through is a parent having to outlive their children. Can I tell you, God's will, I'd never want to do that. I just trust that I have instilled enough in my children and my grandchildren, when I am taken off, that they will remember my mentoring. And however God wanted to use me in their lives, they will hold on to that and continue to be what God has called them to be. There's a need to mourn our losses. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4, there is a time of mourning. And as we mourn, it's a good thing. Especially if you understand that who God is. God could have kept them here longer. But it wasn't his purpose. Sometimes we have to see the physical mind and body going downhill. I believe sometimes it's God preparing us to be all right with God going ahead and taking them home. Not that we ever want to lose our loved ones and ever want to lose our mentors, but time passes, time moves on. God's purpose for Moses now has ended, and Joshua represents a new beginning. But God would have to remove Moses for Joshua to be Joshua. Does that make sense? Even though we're mourning it, there's a purpose that God has in mind. We got to let God be God. As we let God be God, then I have to focus on what's left of my life and what God has me here to accomplish. And it will be dependent upon health. It will be dependent upon wisdom, opportunities that God has kept for us. We find the very same thing with Samuel, the loss of Saul. We won't go there for sake of time, but 1 Samuel chapter 15, because God had rejected Saul, Samuel was mourning longer than what he should have mourned over Saul. And God came to Samuel and he says, that's enough time. How long are you going to mourn over Saul, seeing that I've rejected him, seeing that his purpose is now past, but you still have more to accomplish? God had to speak to Samuel concerning his sorrow over Saul, and he had to stop mourning Saul so that he would be able to anoint a David. Because David was the future for Israel. Amen. And God says, all right, to mourn, he was your mentor, he was your somewhat your adopted son, and you mentored him and all the different things, but now it's over, so you have to stop mourning over Saul and start focusing on what I have yet for you to accomplish while you're here, and go and anoint David to be the next king of Israel. Time of mourning, but at some point we have to put that mourning behind us. We have to look forward to being Joshua. Psalm chapter 30, we're done. Psalms chapter 30. Mourning can never be a way of life. It's part of life. It can never be a way of life. If you're so focused on mourning, you'll never find David to anoint. You have to look forward. And everyone that's ever lived for Christ and has been a mentor to you wants you to take what they have left you and even do more with what you have and serving God. Psalms 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. I felt like dying. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. That's not going to accomplish what you have me here. For me to die or to even to stay in mourning? Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. What a great psalm. Yeah. Joshua, know that God called you. He equipped you. He allowed Moses to mentor you. Couldn't ask for a greater mentor. But be Joshua. I've chosen you, Joshua, to lead my people into the promised land. Wow. Just be you. In God's will, be you. If I could have every head bowed. God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. He's chosen to keep us here with whatever health that we have, with whatever opportunities that he brings before us. Be that servant that God wants you to be. Just be who you are. In God's will, depending upon him. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of this introductory as we're still learning about the man Joshua, your call upon his life, and all that goes along with him being the man that you would use to lead Israel into the promised land. Help us to learn from these principles, apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.